The book of Titus, chapter 2. Now, we've been studying the book, the first chapter, and you'll remember there was quite a introduction there. And we got to the purpose statement in verse 5. He says, "This is why I've left you in Crete. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting." The idea is to restore something, the lacking things. And the idea of ordain is to, set in order. Set in order to a city, elders, literally, as I had appointed thee. And then he goes to that whole list. Now, these elders, these are literally, they're more mature ones. Not talking about physically just more mature ones, obviously. Spiritually more mature ones. And, okay, they're to be all of these qualifications that we looked at. Particularly verse 9, at the end, we see that holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. And then last time we saw the reason why. Why? He says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped." So you need these elders, more mature ones, in an assembly, because there are people out there who are vain talkers. They deceive the understanding, and their mouths must be stopped. They need to be bridled. It needs to be muzzled. It needs to be stopped. So these mature ones are supposed to be able to do that. How? Well, verse 9 says it's through the sound teaching of the Word of God. Sound doctrine or sound teaching. So they can exhort, they can convince or to convict the gainsayers, the ones speaking against. Okay, so the mouths need to be stopped. But the extent of their damage you can see in verse 10, the second part, where he says, "Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." So they are destructive, these false teachers are. He says, "One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.' This witness is true." So this is the character and nature of these people who live on Crete, the people who are in every city. He says, it's true. The witness is true. And he says, "Wherefore, rebuke them sharply." That is to cut away from. He says, you need to do it, and you need to be pretty particular to rebuke or to convict them. Why? Why would you do that? "That they may be sound in the faith." Now, that goes against maybe your personality. It goes against my personality. Maybe it goes against conventional wisdom. Maybe it goes against what is generally taught, but he says, no, if they're doing these things, you need to convict them sharply. You need to rebuke them sharply. He says, why? "That they may be sound in the faith." And that's the goal, sound in the faith. Hey, are you sound in the faith? Are you sound in the faith? That's a good question. He says, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables." That word fables, mythos, where we get the word myth. These myths and these commandments of men that turn from the truth. He says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." And that is the condition of, I would say, again, I don't have hard data, but probably most of those who would call themselves Christians, they do that in name, but in works, they deny him, being disobedient. They don't do what he says. They don't know him. They don't know what he says. They don't. Even people who would be maybe even conservative, so many don't know. So there's the reason there. Today, chapter 2, he says here, this is an instruction to Titus, but for all of those people there, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So I have it behind me here. I'm just going to put up some of those Greek words here. So you have there you have day and then su. The first, the day there, which is the second word, is actually that and or that but. And su is you. And you, here's the command, speak. That's la lai. Speak. Speak. And this is the things or which things. And then you have prepai. Let me see. Let me get all this together here. And you speak which things. And this prepai is the idea of the things, it is fitting. And it is fitting or it is beautifying, perhaps you might even say, coming from that Hebrew idea. It is fitting. It's something that, for instance, somebody has their hair out of place, right? You put the hair back and it's like, oh, okay, you're put together. That's better. That's fitting. That's what it should be. Something that's out of place and then you put it back in place. This is, it is fitting. It is fitting. But it's fitting to, here it is, to, this is these three words up here, to the, and then this word here. Let's see if I can even read it. Hugi I nuse. Hugi I nuse. And the didaskalia. So this word here is the sound, and that's the doctrine or teaching. So he is saying this. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this part. But he says, and you speak which things it is fitting to the sound teaching. You are to speak the things that fit sound doctrine, sound teaching. Talking to Titus specifically. But that should be for all of us, right? When we speak, we need to speak things which are sound doctrine if we're going to help others. And then he has here, this is the word presbutos. Presbutos, it just means elder or mature one, and it's masculine and plural, okay? So we know that this one, mature one, is not necessarily speaking of spiritual maturity, it's speaking of physical maturity because it's contrasted with elder women, and then it talks about the younger ladies and then the younger men. So he's talking about age groups here in this instance. So these elders, he says, and he uses this word here, the nephali, the nephalius, and this word here is sober here in our text. That the aged men be sober, okay? And we'll look at that in a second. And then he has the infinitive, to exist sober. Sober, to exist. But let's take a look at this word here, translated sober a little bit here. The nephalius. So nephalius, this word is translated sober. It's the idea of clear thinking ones. Okay, so these aged men, the mature ones, in the assembly, all believers, are to be sober, okay? I didn't mention it yet, but while all of these things are applicable to all of us, okay? We all ought to be sober-minded, as he's going to say. But he also does break it down that some of these things are more particular to different individuals, if you will. These mature men especially need this. They especially need this. Okay? And the word is sober. And the idea is like a clear thinking one. It's unaffected thinking. Okay, this speaks to the thinking process, if you will. Your thinker is not affected, if you will. The opposite idea of this word is to be drunk, okay? Now, I've not been drunk, but you've seen people drunk. I've seen people drunk. And you know all the experiences of what people say, how that, yeah, you're affected. You're not thinking right. You're not doing things right. You're affected in your ability to, well, what do they call it? They call it impaired. You're impaired. And so this is not speaking specifically of you're not drinking, okay? That would apply, but it's much broader than that, okay? This word here, it's their thinking If someone's drunk, their thinking's affected. They're not in control. How we think, this is critical, okay? Especially for us men to be in positions where we have to make decisions. We need to think. We need to think. How we think, that's so important. And I believe it's a major target of the enemy to target the thinker, target our thinking process so that we just don't do it. Are you like me? Sometimes I didn't think about it. You know, you might be reading scriptures and you say, well, I've read that for years. And you stop and actually think about it and it's like, I never knew that's what it said. Why? Because you never got your thinker involved. At least I've experienced that. But there's so many things in life. I remember being confronted with this idea of modesty from another pastor who did a seminar. And as I was listening to it, I was like, duh. Everything he's saying, duh. Of course. But I just didn't engage my thinker to think through all of that. We can't have unaffected thinking. We have to think. You must think. And that's critical. We don't take things to the end. See, the world, we say they live shallow lives. But you say, well, okay, so you get everything you want. Then what? Then what? Then what? Then what? You and I, we can take it to its logical end because we can think through it. But they don't want to get that far. They don't think about it. So often people don't think. But he says, no. Titus, you need to tell them. You need to speak so that they will think. I'm instructed to do that. I'm supposed to help you, and you're supposed to help each other and me and all of us so that we make sure we think. These must be able to think, to reason, to consider, not simply mindlessly carry on. That happens in churches a lot where the pews get filled, a message is heard, and people go home, and they come back, and they do this, and they go there, and they come back, and it's kind of just a mindless thing. And that violates Scripture. Because we're supposed to think. We just always did it that way. You're not thinking then, because we've got to think. Why? Why? We have to process those things. That's the idea of this word. To not have that affected, your thinking affected, it's impaired, so that it's not working right. Everyone born under sin has a mind affected by the flesh. Those born of God, however, they mind the things of spirit. We've seen that in Romans. These are the two main camps of thinking, and all thinking is generally categorized in these two. We are not thinking about... We're not talking so much about the contents of our thoughts, but the control you exercise over your thinking, your consideration. It's not someone sidelined because they're not thinking straight. You ever get just sidelined? Like, well, I didn't see that. They're not able to think straight. Something happens and they can't think. They can't reason and make decisions. Do you consider, and this is what we've got to ask ourselves, you must, do you consider, do you prove all things? Do you think? Do you say, is this pleasing to God? Do you say, is my music pleasing to God? Is my dress pleasing to God? Is my activity pleasing to God? Is my lifestyle pleasing to God? Is this friend pleasing to God? We don't, but you need to. You need to think about that. If you don't think, your thinker's affected. You're not processing these things and comparing them to Scripture. We must know, not just simply verses and passages of Scripture. You know Scripture. I know Scripture. But we need to know the God of the Scriptures. And to do that, you have to think. And we have to correlate. Don't let your thinking become effective. Someone could let the Scripture pass through their minds like water through a sieve, right? it gets through it, all right. But if one were to do that, they would have their thinker affected, or rather, their thinker disabled. It's impaired. That's the idea, okay, where we're just mindless. we're impaired, like someone drunk, someone affected by wine or affected by other things. What might affect our own thinking? What might be that? Well, obviously the flesh will affect your thinking. The flesh shuts off our mind. This is when someone acts not according to reason or to thinking through something scripturally, but by desires. I want it. You know, you eat, and then after you eat, you say, ooh, I shouldn't have ate all that. You aren't thinking. I'm talking to myself. You are just operating off of instinct. Or so many things like that. This is when someone acts not according to reason, but by desires. Also, distractions can sideline us in our thinking. These are things that shut off our mind, or they distract us from what we should engage our mind in. That could be entertainment. I just like to, just get in my own little world. What? That's not for the Christian. We're to live in reality. Reality. That could be media of various kinds, music, movies, hobbies, could be your projects, could be a job, could be drugs, could be friends. Not saying that all of those things do those things, but they could. They could be distractions that affect us from thinking correctly. And I hope you understand what I mean there. The next word here in this list, okay, is semnous. Semnous. And we've seen this word before. It's translated grave. It's the idea of someone honorable, an honorable one. These are to be ones worthy of respect. Now, what would cause someone to not be worthy of respect? It's someone who doesn't practice the disciplines, right? He doesn't get up in the morning when he should, or these things, or he doesn't read his Bible, or he doesn't whatever. There's so many things. If they don't practice the disciplines, they lose some respect. But we're not just talking about regular disciplines, but we're talking spiritually as well. Someone who practices the disciplines, someone who doesn't practice the disciplines, they do not do what they know they should do. They act perhaps in an immature way. Why would someone not practice the disciplines? Well, maybe they're just weak, they haven't grown to that area yet. Maybe they're lazy. Maybe they just don't care. Maybe they enjoy having fun too much. So many things could cause them not to conduct themselves in a grave, in an honorable, in a worthy of respect way. But as men of God, we must in all our activities, we shouldn't be goofy. I know I'm talking to the choir on this one, but we need to be men worthy of respect. Other places that use this word, Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, that word honest is that same word. 1 Timothy 3:8, likewise must the deacons be grave. Same word. 1 Timothy 3:11, even so must their wives, deacon wives, be grave. Okay? That's the idea of honorable, worthy of respect. The third thing here is a word we're going to see a lot here in Titus. Sophronos. Sophronos. And this word, it's translated temperate. It's the idea of sound mind. Someone who's sensible. They're clear-thoughted ones. Now, this word focuses on the mind. To be of a sound, healthy mind. You are sensible, clear-thoughted. It is this that produces the results of temperance or self-control. What our mind is, what we think about, what we mind, is of prime importance. We have to think clearly. The previous word emphasized that we must think. We need to think, and that unaffectedly, not impaired. This word emphasizes that we are to think sensibly, clearly, soberly, more focused on the contents of our thoughts. We've already seen in 1 Peter some of the ways in which we are supposed to think, right? I'll wait till someone nods their head. Have we seen in 1 Peter some of the ways we're supposed to think? I hope so. And if you haven't, you need to go back and look at it. Because yes, without doubt. Hey, we saw in Matthew 6, not that long ago. Remember he says, lay up treasures in heaven, not on the earth. Matthew 6, he tells us some things and how we're supposed to think, right? We saw in 1 John. We're seeing in Titus. We're seeing, you open the Bible and it tells you how you need to think. And the question comes, why have we not conformed to it yet? You say, well, I am. And we say, praise the Lord. But if there's something in there and you think, yeah, I haven't. I'm not there yet. I haven't conformed to it. And you know you should be doing it. Then the Lord cannot bless. We must think in our right mind, soberly, in accordance with who the Lord is. There's other places this word is mentioned. Mark 5:15, sister passage, Luke 8:35, talking about the maniac of Gadara. He was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That's the sophronis. Acts 26:25, Paul saying, I am not mad, but speak for the words of truth and soberness. He speaks the words of truth and soberness, or the clear-thoughtedness. He's using that same word. So he's not crazy, as Felix might suppose him, but rather he's speaking words of truth, words that are clearly thought out. Romans 12:3, he tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think soberly, clear-thoughted, sensibly. There are other places. 1 Timothy 3:2 talks about a bishop must be sober, clear-thoughted. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's sophronis, a sensibleness, a clear-thoughtedness. That's what God has given to us. In Titus 1:8, talking about the overseer, he must be sophronis, clear-thoughted, sensible. Titus 2:2, it's our passage here. Titus 2:5 talks about to be discreet. That's the way it's translated, to be sober, clear-thoughted. Second, or Titus 2:12, Titus 2:4, Titus 2:6. Titus has it a lot, and we're going to see that. 1 Peter 4:7, to the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore sober, clear-thoughted, sensible. You need to be thinking right, the right thoughts. Scripture tells us how. He says, be sober and watch unto prayer. Okay, so he only gives us, I think it's three things here. Three main things. We looked at two of them. The first one, let's see if I can go back. Or actually, it's four things, sorry. I went back too far. Here it is. The first thing here is this impaired thinking or not impaired thinking, soberly thinking. And then the next word here is to be honorable, worthy of respect. The next word, sophronis, is the idea of clear-thoughted, sensible. And then the fourth word here is hugiainantes. And this word, we've seen it a lot, or if we haven't seen it, maybe that particular word, but we've read it a lot, even very much recently. And this word is the word for sound. It's something that's sound, or it's healthy, or whole. You know, he was sound in body. It means he's healthy. He's whole. That's the idea of this. This is one's sound, and then you'll see, well, don't see it yet. There it is. He gives us three, he's going to give us three things here that we're to be sound in, okay? Sound in the faith, okay? That's the pistai. And the faith, or we could say the firmness, because that's the idea of faith, is firmness in God. The faith in, here it is, te hagapa, hagape. And agape is agape, that's love. And in the, and this is to remain under. And we'll look at that in a minute. So he needs to be sound. The mature men need to be sound. They need to be healthy. They need to be whole in the faith, in the firmness. By the way, that's why he was supposed to rebuke them, remember earlier? Sharply, that they'd be sound in the faith, he says. Here, that we must be sound in the faith, in the firmness. The faith caused firmness. Their trust is to be in the Lord. Okay, is your trust in the Lord? This is a question that you need to evaluate for yourself. You say, well, I don't know. Well, you need to think about it. Think about it. Is my trust really in the Lord? And we don't want to be proud and say, oh, yeah, I'm trusting the Lord. Nothing could happen, and I'll always trust Him. We don't want to be proud. I understand that. But we want to sincerely consider and sincerely say, Lord, you know, I don't know what's coming down the pike, and I don't know how I will respond, but I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. Help me. And we need to be trusting the Lord, firm in the Lord. Are you sound in the truth? I'm asking questions. They need an answer. Not to me, but you need to answer this inside of you. You need to give an answer. Am I sound in the truth? Do you know the truth? When you stop learning or you stop knowing or stop seeking, you stop growing, no matter how mature you have been, right? No matter. When you stop growing. We've already seen even this morning, how are you going to grow? By the sincere milk of the Word, desiring it. It's the Word of God, knowing it, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. What's the opposite, though, of being firm in the faith? Firm, sound, excuse me, in the faith, in the firmness. Well, it would be tossed to and fro. Ephesians 4:13, again, talking about the design of God's church, the assembly of believers, he says that we're to edify each other till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are to do that until we are like Christ, that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Just like he's talking about here, they're vain talkers, understanding deceivers. They're there. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him into all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, if you're not coming into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and the measure of the stature of Christ, if you're not on that road, then you're going to be tossed to and fro. And people are all over the place. Well, I don't know, maybe that. Let me hear what this person says. Well, I like the way they say it. Let's have a debate, and let's have these two people talk about something. And then, oh, yeah. You know, they're just all around just saying, well, he said it better. He made a better argument. Where's the authority? They're tossed to and fro. They don't have the knowledge. They're not sound in the faith. They're out here looking at what other people think, what humans think, not what God said. That's bad. Titus, same verses here, just back, same context, just back up a little bit in verse 9 through 11. He says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So the same idea here, they need to be sound in the Word of God. They need to give the sound Word of God, the sound teaching, because these people are subverting houses. Well, how are they doing that? Because people are tossed to and fro. They don't know the truth. But us men, especially all of us, you must be sound in the faith. And nobody can do that for you. You have to do it yourself. I've got to know the Scriptures myself. I need to be firm in the truth. Are you firm in it? The second thing here, firm in the love, the te agape. Te agape is what it is, the love. Now, this love, we know, is not just any kind of love. It's not just what everybody talks about in the world kind of love. This is the love of God. It's true godly love. This love is demonstrated by Christ in that he not only wanted what was best for us, but he also gave up his own life that we could receive what was best for us. Okay, you see that? Not only did he desire what's best, but he laid down his life that we might receive it. And there's greater love than hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, there is nothing better than the Lord. Can we agree on that? Yeah, nothing better than the Lord. There's nothing better than who the Lord is. And if I love the Lord, that means I want Him. I want who He is. If I love other people, that means I want them to have Him as well. Okay, that's really, I'm trying to boil down love here. You boil it down, everything goes back to Him. And love is wanting Him. That's when I love Him, I want Him. I want who He is. If I love others in the Lord, I want them to have Him and experience all of Him. But really, if you take it to its basic form, it seems to me love is just, it's just wanting the Lord. It's wanting the Lord because God is love. These are to be sound in the love, in the love. The third thing there is the hupa mane, te hupa mane. And I have this blue in here just to show. This is a compound word, this particular one. This is the article, in the, and this is under, and this word here is the idea of to remain. And so we'd say to remain under, in the remaining under. There to be sound in the remaining under. Okay, so that's the root idea of that, to remain under something. Hence, we get the idea of patience. Okay, you're this trial or whatever it is, Whatever's here, you're remaining under. You're not running away. You're not giving up. You're remaining under. It's that idea of patience there. Patience. It's the quality one possesses when they remain under a situation, particularly when that situation is not desirable. You know, you're in a situation where you hate your job. Maybe it's time to leave. Maybe not. Maybe you need to remain under. Or whatever the situation. But this is a basic lesson, isn't it? Or I say basic. It is a fundamental lesson, isn't it? It really is. Patience is. Patience is one of the first things we have to address with our children. One of the first things. Got to be patient. But our patience often needs perfecting even as adults. And there are many things in which we must be patient. But perhaps one of the greatest is patience in experiencing the blessings of God. All too often, people want to be affected immediately by what they deem good. I want God's blessing right now. Hey, I've been doing right. It didn't work. Maybe it could be in answered prayers. Hey, I prayed, God didn't answer. Perhaps it's in understanding a passage. Well, I studied it, I still don't know what it means. Perhaps it's in the conversion of someone. Well, I tried giving the gospel, they never got saved. And we prayed over and over and over and over and over again. But the truth is, if you're planting enough seeds and if you're cultivating the plants, you will have a harvest. You'll have a harvest. Whatever it is, studying God's word, for instance, talking about that earlier, you plant seeds. You start doing some studies. You start thinking about it, meditating on it. And maybe you don't get it all together all at once. But I tell you what, sometimes, you know, some things, they come up first, and some things take a long time to come up in the garden, right? It's sometimes that way in scriptures, too. It's like, well, it'll just take a while. But when it comes, like, wow, I got it. And it's the work that most Christians won't do. They have the words of life, but they don't have the patience. They're not sound in patience. If you're planting enough seeds, we talked about, you will have a harvest. Jesus told us to pray, but keep on praying. Even though the Father may bear long with us in trying to win others to the Lord, it may take a while. Maybe it would take some other circumstances. I think of my dad. Witnessed many, 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 many times to my grandmother, his mom. And, you know, she didn't get saved. He's at work, and he gets a page back in those days when he had pagers. And so he goes and talks with this mom, and his mom's on the other line telling him how she got saved. And how it happened was a couple ladies came to her door, talking about going to doors, came to her door and led her to the Lord. And, as, you know, he was excited, but he also thought, I mean, what's the difference? I've been telling you the truth for so long. You know, maybe it takes somebody else. But when understanding a passage as well, it may take a while, it may take time to study and evaluation and maybe reevaluation and then meditating on it, on the meaning. So, we're just doing these two verses, and that's the last word. Let's take it and bring it back all together here. There it is. It's kind of there. It's kind of messed up. Let me do that again. Okay, it's all there. But he says that he's telling Titus, he says, but you speak which things it is fitting to the sound teaching or doctrine. Elders, he says, this unaffected thinking to exist unaffected in their thinking, to be honorable ones, to be clear-thoughted ones, sensible ones, to be sound in the faith, to be sound in the love, to be sound in the remaining under, in the patience. And this is necessary. He says, these are the things that are fitting sound doctrine. It's the sound doctrine that's going to enable us to be able to put to silence those who are subverting people. And they're doing it all over the place. How are we going to be able to do it? We've got to be mature ones. We've got to. See, so often I think about other people. Well, how can I get them to change? And maybe I have to get changed first so that I am able to more effectively help them, to be able to convince the gainsayers, to be able to exhort, to bring alongside the parakaleo. But see, this isn't games we're playing. This isn't come to church and listen to a sermon thing we're doing here. We're talking about eternity of souls. We're talking about the cause of Christ. And either we're going to be serious about it or we're going to be casual about it. Either we're going to do it what God says or we're going to rebel. That's our choice. And though this is for everyone, this one's directed toward the mature in age, the mature in age men, which we must be thinkers. We got to think. We can't let our thinker become affected or to not be working, to be impaired. We have to be worthy of respect, one who's not lazy, but who does the disciplines. We must be clear-thoughted, being able to think sensibly, rightly. We must be sound in faith, trusting our Lord, firm in the truth. We must be sound in the love, that's wanting the Lord for ourselves and wanting Him for others. We must be sound in the patience, the remaining under, to be able to wait, to be able to endure. And when you and I choose to be as He designed for us to be, we'll be a healthy church. I mean, He says, I've done it all. What are you lacking? We only lack our own willpower to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll obey. Yes, Lord, I'll conform. Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Oh, I have to get stirred up because I tend to laziness in all of these things. And you think, well, you can't be lazy. You're the one that's supposed to. We're all in this together. We all struggle. I struggle. We all struggle. But we cannot set this aside because it's inconvenient or because, well, nobody's perfect. We have to say, no, this is true and I want the truth. Do you want it? Do you want it? He gave it to us. He's got it here. And you say, yes, Lord, I'll take it. I'll apply it. I'll meditate on it. I'll give myself wholly to these things, as it says in Timothy, that my profiting may appear to all, so that we can grow. Before we are even ready for people, you've got to be ready yourself. I have to be ready myself. Because with more people comes more problems. And if we can't deal with the people and the problems that we have right now, maybe personally or whatever, how are we going to be ready with more people? Why would God entrust us with that if it would be detrimental to us? Now, I don't know. And that's really beside the point. We've already talked about our success is not in numbers. But I will say this. We must be mature. You need to be mature believers, as the scripture tells us. Lord, thank you so much for this, your wonderful word, the words of life. And I pray that you would help us each individually, but also each of us for each other, to be praying for each other, that we'd be strong in the faith. We would desire the righteousness and truth. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.